Shalom, everyone. It's time for ancient Jewish wisdom for a modern world that will change your thinking and change your life. Welcome to the Dust of the Rabbi podcast with Rabbi Brian Baruch Belecci. Shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Brian. We're back for another week of our fourth episode on becoming free as a disciple of Yeshua. And as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who is our rabbi and our Messiah, we're so grateful that you have listened to this podcast week after week to download ancient Jewish wisdom and become dusty with the dust of the rabbi and drink in his words with thirst. Last week, we dealt with the shame that God wants to free us from. And we found out that when Adam felt ashamed, prior feeling no shame, being naked, but clothed with the glory of God, the shame that he felt after he fell spiritually, him and his wife being disobedient to God or being deceived by the serpent, we know exactly what happened. They felt naked. They felt ashamed. They were afraid when they heard God's voice walking in the cool of the day, and they began to cover up their nakedness with fig leaves. So I want to turn to week number 3 today and share with you these principles on becoming free from fear and insecurity. Today, we're going to learn how to overcome fear and walk in total victory without being paralyzed by insecurity and anxiety. So if you've been dealing with some anxiety lately, this week is for you. When Adam and Eve chose to eat fruit from the wrong tree, they didn't realize that their eyes would be open to nakedness, shame, fear, and insecurity. How can we avoid the same trap of the serpent and walk in total victory? How can we be free from the paralyzing emotion of fear and anxious thoughts? Are you having any of those fears today? Any anxious thoughts you've been dealing with? Anxiety is not of God. Let's let it go. Let's not be anxious for anything, but everything through prayer and supplication. We pray to God, make our requests known to him. And what's going to happen? The shalom of God, the peace of God, is going to come all over us. It's going to keep our heart and our mind guarded against the shame, the fear, and the insecurity, even the regret of bad decisions from our future choices that we make. So walking with God secures us in his presence, and it builds our faith as we hear his voice. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. His presence empowers and secures us as his child, and gives us the power to overcome anything that tries to make us ashamed, afraid, or insecure. Here's the verse we looked at the last few weeks, Genesis 3:10. He, speaking of Adam, replied to God, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." You see, the voice of God created a sense of security for Adam as he walked in the cool breeze of the day. In Hebrew, it's Ruach Hayom. Ruach is spirit, wind, or breath. Hayom is the day. So literally, the wind of the day, the breeze of the day, the breath of the day, literally could be translated the spirit of the day. How many know every day God wants us to walk with his Holy Spirit? Walking with God means walking in the wind and the breath and the breeze of the Holy Spirit, leading you and guiding you in the direction you should go. And so when we look at this presence and voice of God that they were supposed to experience and should have built not fear, but faith, we have to ask the question, what caused Adam and Eve to feel insecure when they recognized that they were naked? Maybe it wasn't actually the fruit that caused the shift in their spiritual and emotional well-being. Yes, they did eat of it, but perhaps it was their perception that changed that made the shift. You see, God questioned them after their discovery and said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you that you should not eat?" Their lack of trust in God was the real issue. The fruit was only Satan's tool to trick them into not trusting God. In other words, it wasn't like magic where they ate into this fruit. And by the way, it's not an apple. I know the artist's rendering is always an apple that they ate from. Who knows? It might have been as red as a pomegranate or as beautiful as the inside of a passion fruit or a fig. We don't know. Could have been a fig because they did cover themselves up with fig leaves. Wouldn't it be interesting that you would try to cover yourself up with the leaves of the very fruit that you disobeyed God with? You think about this. The tool of Satan was to disobey God. The test of God was whether they were going to obey him or not. You can eat of any tree, especially the tree of life. Just don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, don't mix good with evil and don't try to do
evil and call it good. Because anytime you do something in the world's way or standard, it looks good, but it leads to evil, or sometimes good is the shield that hides evil, so that men try to do things that look good to others, but behind the scenes, they're manipulating circumstances so that they can load themselves up with pleasures of this world, just so they can have their greedy gain fulfilled and satisfied. So when you think about this fear that entered into Adam and Eve, we have to consider that fear is only a result of our disobedience, as faith is also the outcome of obeying God's voice, obeying what He's commanded. We've got to learn how to trust God's word and believe in it, even as we cry out, Abba, Father. Our confidence in God is the result of our constant connection to Him. Did you hear that? Our constant connection to God is what builds our confidence in God. When we lose our spiritual connection, become separated from His Spirit, we easily fall into the trap of sin, where fear can suffocate our faith. And this is because without the voice of God to give us direction, we become afraid and hide instead of drawing close to Him. Remember that Adam is the one that said, God, it's that woman you gave me. He didn't take accountability for his action. He blamed the woman, but in a sense, he really blamed God first. And I think sometimes we don't take accountability because the responsibility is ours to make the right choice. We can't say the devil made me do it. We've heard that, and we've used that as an excuse for so many years. But now that we know the truth, it's time to walk in that truth. And I think when we think of the fear that came upon this young couple in the garden, we've got to refuse that spirit of fear even today. It is trying to keep us in bondage. If we don't renounce these false beliefs and pull down every one of the enemy's strongholds over our mind, we will continue to give the devil a foothold in our life. You ever had that pushy salesman? I know they don't do that too much anymore. When I was a kid, we'd have salesmen come door to door, and they would try to get their foot in the door, because if you would listen to them long enough where they could get a foothold into the door, it was probably going to be an immediate sell that day. They were going to sell you a vacuum cleaner or something. Now they just use Instagram infomercials, I call them, to be able to convince us that we need to buy what they're selling. You see, Ephesians 4:27 tells us, don't give the devil any kind of foothold in your life. And just like the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, he tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. All those arguments or every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's word. We need to pull those thoughts from the enemy down. We need to remove the strongholds from around our mind that keep us imprisoned. We need to bring all those thoughts into the obedience of the anointed Messiah. And I really believe today, even the words of the Apostle Paul that tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You don't have to have mental health issues when you have a revelation of God's love, when you realize that fear and that spirit of fear has no power over you. Paul also says in Romans 8:15 that God did not give us spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. That's the Holy Spirit who's adopted you into the family of God. And it says that we cry, Abba, Father. I love this because when you think about fear and how it tries to grip us, when Jesus spoke the words that John recorded in his first epistle in 1 John 4:12 through 19, he said, even though that no one has seen God at any time, he says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he first loved us. Wow, if you're battling with fear today, consider the fear specifically that you might be facing. Is it a fear of rejection, a fear of conflict, a fear of loneliness, or failure, or poverty, a fear of being misunderstood? I've battled that my whole life. I hate being misunderstood. That's why I became a teacher, a rabbi, so I could explain things in a methodical, detailed way with intentionality and purpose so that I won't be misunderstood. I had to overcome my own fears by the capacity God gave me and the intellect that I use daily to search the scriptures and rightly divide the word of truth, but more importantly, to meditate in my heart and apply the principles to my life. That's how I overcame those insecurities of feeling like I'm being misunderstood. I'm not being misunderstood when I'm using my gift and my capacity and my charisma to teach people how to follow in the footsteps of the Messiah, how to walk in that authority in His name that's been given to us to set the captive free. Maybe you're facing the fear of sickness or death. How about fear of the future or fear of a commitment? Here's a big one. How about the fear of intimacy? When was the last time you were intimate with that husband, that wife, that spouse? How many intimate moments have you had lately with the Lord? How about an intimate conversation with your kid just to share with them how much you love them and share some of your story with them so they can understand the testimony of what God did when He brought you out of a certain situation or circumstance that they now can relate to? Our kids need that. Our family needs it. Our spouse needs to know when we're struggling and hurting and when we need help. And if you're struggling right now, the help is available. You just got to be willing to be open and honest and responsible to communicate what you need. Ask the right person the right question at the right time. You get the right answer. Ask for help. You'll get help. Ask God for wisdom. He will give you wisdom. And so if you're fearing intimacy or you're fearing change, maybe you think you can't change. Trust me, you can change. And the reason I know you can change is because God did it for me. I know He can do it for you. You see, overcoming fear and anxiety is not easy when you've lived your whole life afraid of people's opinions and expectations. We can only eradicate our fears through our faith in God and His Word. This is why I think it's so important for people to kind of resurrect their spiritual life. Spirituality is not some mystical idea. It's a practical reality when we live out the plans and purposes of God, fulfill His commands, listen to His voice, not run from Him, but run to Him. I love Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, God wants to uphold you. He wants you to be strengthened. He wants to help you. He doesn't want you to live in fear or be dismayed. He doesn't want discouragement to take over your life. Some of you at your job, you're discouraged. Sometimes at home, you're secretly depressed, secretly suffering in silence. God doesn't want that. He wants you free. What is that thing that's holding you back? What's that fear and insecurity you're facing that you don't want to face, but you need to face it? The only way you can face it and overcome it is face it with other people that have overcome. One last psalm I want to read to you before we get ready to close. Psalm 34:1 says, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. I love verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Man, are you grateful that you have a God that hears your prayer, your cry? Whatever you're asking God for, trust and believe He's going to give it to you. Maybe we need to ask the deeper question. Do we really battle with insecurity? Are we afraid? And is that fear fueling our insecurities that we might be experiencing day to day, moment by moment, with people, even when you're alone? Are your fears rooted in some traumatic thing that happened to you when you were a child? Or have your insecurities robbed you of your rest and your peace, paralyzed your faith? If you're having a problem sleeping at night, could it be that you're carrying your fears into your dreams that are becoming nightmares and waking up with the anxiety and the restlessness that you felt tossing and turning, worrying about what tomorrow will look like and whether tomorrow will be more of yesterday or your future look like your past? An encouragement to all of us is to hear Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. How about Psalm 37:3? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. See, when you feed on the Word of God, you're feeding on His faithfulness. Here's one I pray every day of my life. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. See, before you concern yourself with what offended your spouse, your child, your loved one, your friend, your family member, your coworker, your boss. Ask whether you've offended God. So when you offend other people, you're really offending God who created them. And he created them in his image. So we should always treat people with the love and respect they deserve. So be very intentional on searching your heart every day, letting God search your thoughts. Is there any anxious thoughts you're dealing with? Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. If you're battling depression, could it be that your heart is filled with anxiety? Philippians 4:6, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I like the way one version says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. It tells us to think of those things that are true, things that are noble, right, pure, lovely, anything that's admirable, anything praiseworthy. Think on these kind of things. Because the more you think about negative thoughts, the pathway in your brain becomes one of a negative person. You don't want to change who you are, who God created you to be, by allowing the paralyzing and crippling emotion of fear and the feeling of insecurity rob you of any more days of this year, any more moments within your day, any more feelings that can be filled with joy but instead have been filled with sadness instead of gladness. You see, the prayer I want to pray today for you, this is one I wrote for being free from fear and insecurity. Will you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me freedom from fear and insecurity. I know that fear has crippled my faith in you. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I will not allow fear to bring me into bondage anymore. Jesus, thank you for setting me free from the things that held me bound for so many years. May your Holy Spirit fill my heart daily with faith and trust in your amazing love and grace. I renounce any anxiety or insecurity I used to have about who I am because I know who you created me to be. I am your child. I know you love me unconditionally. I declare that I am now free from all fear and insecurity by the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad you've joined us for this week. Fear and insecurity is no longer going to be a part of our name or our identity. And guess what? Our next episode for season 4 is going to be all about becoming free from identity issues. Can't wait to hear from you, to see you, to experience what you're going through. Message me. You can hit me up on Instagram with Rabbi_Brian, the same handle for Twitter that's now called X. You can follow me on YouTube, subscribe, like the videos, share the videos, or keep on listening audibly on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, or iHeartRadio, or any other platform that you like to listen to podcasts to. Share this with a friend. Rate and review the podcast. We love you. We'll see you soon. Lehitrot. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, follow us for more episodes as you rate and review the podcast. Thank you for listening to the Dust of the Rabbi podcast with Rabbi Brian Baruch Belecci. Shalom. Lehitrot. See you next time.